Krishna, everyone. Thank you so much. Very happy to be here with you. And, well, before we begin, let us invoke Krishna's presence. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're beginning by invoking Krishna's presence. But actually, for the pure devotee of Krishna, Krishna is always present. You see, for us, we have to somehow or other focus our mind on Krishna. One devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, sometimes I forget Krishna." Prabhupada said, "You always forget Krishna, and sometimes you remember him." Our mind is going in 50 million places. We are here, but still we are thinking, who's on the main stage in the carnival? What will happen tomorrow? What's going on in my life? What happened yesterday or last week? What will happen to my kids? So many thoughts going through the mind. Chanchalam himana krishna pramati balabhadvidam. Arjuna says the mind is so flickering. So we have to somehow or other focus our mind on Krishna. For some time we have to try to switch off. We have to try to shut out the material world and all the temporary responsibilities that we have. And for some time we have to focus on Krishna, remembering that Krishna is the param gati, the ultimate destination where we're heading. Srila Prabhupada, however, was a pure devotee. He was always seeing Krishna. One reporter, he once came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, "How do you choose your leaders in your movement?" So this is on live television. So Prabhupada said, "Krishna tells me." The reporter was like, "Krishna tells you?" So one devotee, he thought, you know, let's make this a bit acceptable for the PR man. So he said, "Yeah, what he means is that Krishna is in his heart." And Krishna, his Prabhupada looked at him and said, "No, Krishna tells me directly." Prabhupada was seeing Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada saw a picture, he didn't just see a picture, he saw Krishna. One time Jadurani, she had made a painting, and Radharani was on one side, Krishna was on the other side. Radharani had a garland, but she was looking in the opposite direction to Krishna. So Jadurani showed this painting to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at the picture, and he said, "Oh, Srimati Radharani has another boyfriend?" She was looking the other way. So Radharani felt so bad. "Oh no, this maha offense." Radharani is left. And then Prabhupada could sense, he said, no. Radharani is looking for Jadurani to give her a garland because she has painted such a nice picture. So that was interesting. Prabhupada wasn't just seeing a picture. He was seeing, this is Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada saw the deities, he wasn't just seeing, this is a deity, this was Krishna. In Juhu they had so many problems making the temple, so many difficulties, dacoits, law cases, violence towards the devotees. Even the devotees themselves said, "Srila Prabhupada, let's just go from this place and go somewhere else." And you know what Prabhupada said? He said, "How can I go somewhere else? I brought Radha Rasbihari here and I promised them I would make a temple for them." Because when Prabhupada saw Radha Rasbihari, he wasn't just seeing a deity, this was Krishna. And I made a promise to Krishna. And if I made a promise to Krishna, how can I go back? Everywhere, Prabhupada saw Krishna. When Prabhupada was chanting about Krishna, when he was chanting the Maha Mantra or Bhajan, he was seeing Krishna. He 1971 in Gorakhpur, Srila Prabhupada introduced the song Jaya Radha Madhava to the devotees. And for the first time before the class, he began to sing Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Ramani. Yes, you can come forward. Don't worry, I'm fully vegetarian. So Prabhupada, Prabhupada introduced this song, Jaya Radha Madhava, and then he explained, this song is a perfect picture of the spiritual world. Everything is there. Krishna is there, the gopis are there, Krishna's mother and father are there, Govardhan is there, Yamuna is there, everything is there. When Krishna wanted to come to the world, then Krishna in the spiritual world said to Srimati Radharani, I'm going, will you come? She said, I will not come. You won't come. How I can do my pastimes without Srimati Radharani? So Srimati Radharani says, I will not come. Krishna said, but I brought Vrindavan. And I brought Vrindavan to this world, and I also brought Jamuna, I brought Govardhan Giriraj, and I brought the dust of Vrindavan. Then Srimati Radharani said, okay, then I will come. So, Srila Prabhupada introduced this song, Jaya Radha Madhava. And then he sang it one day, with eyes closed. Have you seen Srila Prabhupada singing Jaya Radha Madhava? Such focus, such meditation. Second day he sung, third day he sung. And on the third day when he sung, devotees could see tears coming from his eyes. Because Prabhupada wasn't just singing a song. He was in Vrindavan. He was with Krishna. So somehow or other, we're thinking, when will the day come when we see Krishna? Every day we're chanting Krishna's names. Every day we're reading about Krishna. Will a day come when we see Krishna? George Harrison, he says, I really want to see you. But it takes so long. It takes so long. Does it take long to see Krishna? Depends. One time Srila Prabhupada was in Berry Place. You know Berry Place is the first temple in London, even before Soho, Manor, everything. So one day Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Berry Place, so he was like sitting. And one person stood up, because you know Prabhupada would be at the other side of the temple room looking at the deity. So one person stood up in the middle of the class and said, but can you see Krishna? Prabhupada said, yeah, yeah, just sit down and then have a drink. Just sit down and I can see. So Prabhupada said, yes, I see Krishna. And then you know what happened? Prabhupada looked at him and he said, can't you see Krishna? And he said, no, I can't see Krishna. So now it was pin drop silence. He was standing, Prabhupada was there. Prabhupada said, you cannot see Krishna? Then Prabhupada looked at him and he said, do you want to see Krishna? And in that moment he stopped and thought deeply. And after some moments he began shaking his head and said, no. Prabhupada said, therefore you cannot see Krishna. Because that desire is not there, that intensity is not there, that deep desperation is not there. How many people are crying for Krishna, crying to see Krishna? You see, people cry for all kinds of things in this world. But who is crying for Krishna, that Krishna, I must see you? The person who cries for Krishna, they will get Krishna. But if you cry for the things of this world, then the things of this world will come to you. But then when the things of this world come to you, eventually those same things will leave you. Because the nature of everything in this world is just always changing. Everything changes. Nothing stays forever. Your body changes. Your relationships change. Your ashram changes. Everything changes. So now we're celebrating, Janmashtami is coming, Krishna is appearing, Krishna is appearing. But will Krishna appear in my life? Will I see Krishna in this life before time runs out? Will I really see Krishna face to face? That is the biggest question on the table. If you see Krishna in this life face to face, then life is successful. Otherwise, many nice things may be there, but still the perfection of life did not come. But then one will say, what does it take to see Krishna? What will I have to do in my life to see Krishna? So therefore, Krishna comes to this world and he appears. And when Krishna appears in this world, there is an incredible story of how Krishna appears. But this story is not just a story of different events. But this story of how Krishna appears, when you look at it systematically, it will give you all the keys to understand how to make Krishna appear in your life if you want Krishna to appear. And therefore, we turn to Srimad Bhagavatam to remember how did Krishna appear in this world. Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses, isn't it? And the 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam are split into 10 subjects. Atra sarva visargascha sthanam poshanamutaya manvantare shankatha nirodha muktirashraya. What does Srimad Bhagavatam talk about? First subject, sarga, primary creation. Second subject, visarga, Brahma's creation. So first creation is creation of the elements. Second creation is creation of Brahmaji. Third topic, sthanam, all the different planetary systems and the cosmology of the universe. You want to know the cosmology of the universe? You can study in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto. But Prabhupada said, don't think you will understand it with your tiny pea-sized brain. Very difficult to understand. People want to go to other planets. One time, Prabhupada was giving out the book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Isn't it? We have a book. So there was one man in Jhansi. So he gave, the man was fascinated. He said, wow, Easy Journey to Other Planets. If I read this book, can I go to other planets? Prabhupada said, yes. Prabhupada said, you can go to other planets. You can go to the ultimate planet, Goloka Vrindavan. The man said, wow, amazing. He said, and then, can I come back? Said, why you want to come back? He said, no, I want to go, but I want to come back here. Can I come back to Jhansi? Prabhupada said, no, yadgatva nanivartante. Once you go there, you don't come back. He said, I can't come back. Then I don't want to go. So people have so many aspirations to go to the moon, to the Mars. Did they go to the moon? Conspiracy. Prabhupada said, he said different things, different times. Sometimes he said, no, how they can go to the moon? The moon is a heavenly planet. You can't just take a spacecraft to the moon. They can't have gone to the moon. They must have filmed it in Arizona desert. And then later all the theories came out. Then sometimes Prabhupada said, no, they went somewhere, but they didn't go to the moon, they went to Rahu. Rahu is another planet in between Earth and the moon. And then sometimes Prabhupada said, even if they went to the moon, what is their credit? They just brought back some rocks. After going all the way there, you bring back some rocks. Maybe they did go to the moon. But can you see the moon just by going there? You need to have the consciousness. You can go to the moon, but that doesn't mean you'll be able to enter into the existence of the moon because it's on a different dimension. So, anyway, sthanam. Bhagavatam talks about the different planetary systems. Poshanam. Fourth topic of the Bhagavatam is Bhagavatam talks about how Krishna protects. Krishna takes care. Krishna has got your back. Don't worry about anything. Krishna is always there to help. Muttaya, fifth topic, creative impetus. What does creative impetus mean? How is this world expanding? How is this world multiplying in so many ways? Have you noticed how the world becomes more and more complex? Muttaya, creative impetus. What's the creative impetus of this world? Anyone know? What is the impetus behind creating such a complicated civilization?
Desires.
Desire, lust, kama esha, krodha esha, because we have lust. And therefore, so many things, so many creations. One time Prabhupada was walking past the playground on the New York skyline, and he pointed at the playground, and he said, children's playground. And then he pointed at the skyscrapers and he said, adults playground. Children's playground, adults playground. Building, building, building. Taller buildings, shorter tempers. Wider highways, narrower minds. More possessions, less satisfaction. What kind of world are we living in? The creative impetus, the desire Bhagavatam talks about. Manvantara, then Bhagavatam's sixth topic is all about the Manus. In every universal age, different powerful fathers of mankind are coming. The word man comes from Manu. Ishanukatha, seventh topic. Ishanu Katha means, Isha means Supreme Lord, Katha means the talks. So Krishna has so many incarnations, isn't it? It's said that when you go to the ocean, as many waves as there are in the ocean, that many incarnations of Krishna there are there. In Bhagavatam, we only know some. In our Bhagavatam, some of the incarnations. Did you know that Krishna has one incarnation in all 8.4 million species of life? You don't know, so many things are there. The Bhagavatam gives different talks of the different incarnations, Nrisimhadev, Ram, Krishna, Buddha, so many. Nirodha. Nirodha means annihilation. Eighth topic. How everything is annihilated. The universe is annihilated. Ultimately, our own body is annihilated. Parikshit is annihilated. Everything comes to an end. They say life is like a game of chess. Whether you're the king, the queen, or the pawn, at the end of the game, everyone ends up in the box. Sorry to be so graphic. But that's the reality. Nirodha, everything moves. Everything is annihilated. Nothing stays. I went to school in London, in Wembley, in a place called Copeland School. If you don't know it, I'm very happy for you. It wasn't a very good school. A bit rough. But when I was some years ago, I thought, let me go back to my old school. Because so many memories, isn't it? 20, 30 years ago, you were at school. It's very nostalgic. It reminds you where I was, where I am now. Go back to your old school. So I would drive past many times and I thought, well, one day I'll go back to my old school. And then one day I drove past my old school and the whole building had been knocked down. And when I saw it, my heart dropped. I thought to myself, that was a museum of so many memories, all destroyed in one moment. Nothing stays in this world. subject of Virota. And then ninth topic, Mukti. Mukti means liberation. Liberation from the pain, liberation from suffering, liberation from samsara, liberation from material entanglement. We want to be free. Some of us don't want to be free. One time someone came to a guru and he said, what is the nature of illusion? And you know what the guru did? He jumped off the Vyasasana, he ran out into the courtyard, he caught hold of a tree, and he started shouting, let me go, let me go, let me go. So this is illusion. You want to get free from the world, but then you hold on to so many things and you create so many attachments. Do you really want to let go? Or do you want to hold on? So therefore, Krishna speaks all about mukti. These are nine topics of the Bhagavatam. But Jiva Goswami says all these nine topics of the Bhagavatam are only meant to ultimately bring you to the tenth topic of Bhagavatam. And what is tenth topic of the Bhagavatam?
Ashraya.
Ashraya. Ashraya. What does ashraya mean?
Shelter.
The place where you can go for shelter. The place where your journey ends. The place where you meet the fulfillment of your heart. The place where you experience the complete satisfaction of prema, pure love. And that ashraya is Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is the object. And when you read Bhagavatam, then ultimately the place that we are able to come to is Krishna. And so the Bhagavatam describes the story of Krishna and how Krishna appears in this world. The first lesson of how Krishna appears in this world is very, very powerful. Because right at the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, the narration is given of how the demigods are looking at the universe and they're seeing that there is a great degradation. You know how to understand that the world is becoming very, very bad? There's one key way to understand that the world is not going in a good direction. You know what that one thing is? Have a guess. You see plenty of it in the world today.
Cow killing.
Say again?
Killing of cows.
Killing of cows? Yes?
War.
War? Dishonesty. Okay, so these things, war, killing of cows, integrity in society, who is supposed to make sure that these things don't happen?
Rulers.
Rulers. And when you find that the rulers are the ones who are actually doing it, when you find that the rulers are the ones who are actually corrupt, the rulers are the ones who are the most dishonest, then you can understand civilization is not moving in a good direction. Because what does Krishna say? Yad yad acharati shreshtas tatareva tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastarana vartate. Whatever a great man does, or whatever someone in leadership does, all the world will pursue. So the demigods began to see that the rulers themselves are becoming so corrupt, so exploitative, so materialistic. The future is dark. The future is dim. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So they all went to Brahma. And they said, Brahma, you created this thing. You created this world. And now it's a complete mess. You do something. He said, what can I do? I've also become powerless to do anything against the demons. They were so desperate. They were so worried. They saw no other recourse of improvement in the world. And therefore, what did Brahma and all the demigods do? They said, we are powerless, but somehow or other, we need Krishna to descend to the world. We need Krishna to appear. If Krishna doesn't come, there is no chance of any improvement in our lives, in the lives of the people to come in future generations. And so what did they do in that mood of great desperation? They went to the milk ocean. Yes, there is an ocean of milk. An ocean of milk? Well, if you can have an ocean of salt water, why you can't have an ocean of milk? Possible. Anything's possible. So therefore, the demigods went to Sveta Dweep on the milk ocean. And there Vishnu is residing. And there, what did the demigods do? They began to chant a prayer. What was that prayer? Purusha Shukta. So many prayers in glorification of the Purusha, the Supreme Person who is the maintainer of all living entities. And as they were praying, they didn't hear anything. No response. No response. Doesn't Krishna hear my prayers? Sometimes you feel like that. Is Krishna, are you listening? Are you hearing my prayers? We come in front of Krishna sometimes and we think, okay for you, you're sitting there smiling, playing your flute. What about me? Are you listening? Are you hearing? So they didn't hear anything. Krishna is not replying. But then Brahma, in his trance, Vishnu communicated to him. And Vishnu said, I will come. Even before all of you came to petition me to descend to the world because of degradation, even before all of that happened, I already decided I will come. And so Vishnu said, I will come. I will come in my very same self, Krishna. Once in a day of Brahma, Krishna himself comes to this world. So Krishna said, I will come. All my associates, I've already told them to take birth. All the demigods, I've told them to take birth in the Yadu Vamsa, the dynasty of the Yadus. And before I appear, my brother, my first expansion, first he will appear some days before me. And after he appears in this world, my Shakti, she will also come. Yoga Maya. And therefore Balaram and Yoga Maya take birth before Krishna appears. And then Krishna said, I will appear. And when I appear, I will arrange everything. I will rectify the whole situation. And so Krishna appeared in this way. But what is the first lesson we're learning from the Bhagavatam? That if you really want Krishna to appear in your life, then there must be some desperation. You have to kind of be a little bit finished with this world. You got to kind of look at the world and think, I'm here, I have to do my duties, I have my responsibilities, but we don't invest any more hopes in this world that there is something to achieve or something to strive for here. You may say, how do you live? Don't you guys have any ambitions? Don't you want to do something good for the world? Don't you want to? Yes, we do have ambitions. We want to do something good for the world. Devotees are always thinking big. But not because they think they'll get any personal benefit from it. Devotees are incredibly ambitious. Devotees are incredibly busy. Devotees are incredibly motivated. But they're not motivated to do things thinking that that's going to bring me happiness, that's for my selfish gain. They do things to serve others, to help others, to serve Krishna. But for themselves, they have nothing more under to do this here in the material world. They've wrapped it all up. And their desperation, their only desperation now, is how will I find Krishna in my life? So how much desperation do we have? If you have 10% desperation, then Krishna will show 10% of yourself. And the more desperation that you have, that no, in this life I must see Krishna, then Krishna will reveal more and more of himself. The first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is known as Arjun Vishad Yoga. You understand the word Vishad? Vishad means desperation. The first yoga of the Bhagavad Gita is the yoga of desperation. You can advertise, we're doing yoga classes. Not Hatha yoga, not Ashtanga yoga, not hot yoga. Vishad yoga, the yoga of desperation. Why the yoga of desperation? Because until and unless Arjun comes to that point of desperation, we may hear so many things, but it will not sink into the heart. Have you noticed how we can hear so many things, but it doesn't sink into the heart? One time someone said, after I was giving class at the manor, and one person said, Prabhu, that was an amazing class. I said, what did you like? He said, it ended on time. That was his measure. Because most of the time, how much is really sinking in? Okay, here we go again. It's the weekly pep talk. It's the weekly, weekly speech to fire everyone up. How much? Can you digest food if there's no fire of digest? There must be a fire. Otherwise you will eat so much, but you will not digest. How many classes did we hear? How many kirtans were we in? How much transcendental knowledge did we receive? But still it's hitting us, but it's not going in. It's not sinking into the heart. Because the moment we walk out, we're again confronted with our old self again. Not really changing. Not really evolving. Because the desperation is in there. So then the next question is, how will we get the desperation? How will we become desperate for Krishna? How will we become desirous to see Krishna? There are many things you can do for that, but the first thing is you must associate with those who have desperation. If you are with someone who is running after Krishna, Prabhupada said, just hold on to my dhoti, I've got the back door key to Goloka Vrindavan. Stay close to the devotees. It's dangerous when you stay close to the devotees. Even my parents told me, they're nice, but don't go too close. Then they were wise. Keep two chevrons apart. Don't go too much. Like in Mana, we are Shruti Dharma Prabhu. Some of you may know, he was a great soul, great devotee, amazing person. And when I saw him, I was so inspired. I thought, wow, here is a real sadhu, a real saintly person. I thought, I want to be around him. I want to take the association of someone who is close to Krishna. But you know, as years went by in my life, I realized that that association came with a price. Because when someone is close to Krishna, if you stay close to them, then they also bring you close to Krishna. And they will make you do things, not make you, but inspire you to do things in your life which otherwise you would never do, because they're bringing you to Krishna. Sometimes Shri Dharma Prabhu would phone me, and when his name would appear on my phone, then there would be a mixed feeling. Now I would think, now I'm going to associate with a saintly person. So happy. Yes, of course. Who doesn't want to be with a saintly sadhu? But the other side of me said, this conversation is going to involve some element of surrender. He's going to make me do something for Krishna I don't want to do. I don't know if I'm ready for that. So it came with a price. But when we look back, we realize, yes, the devotees, they made us. They gave us that desperation. We have to become desperate through reading the books, because the books reveal to us that there's nothing left in this world. Krishna explains, Mama Gaya Punar Janma Dukhalao Nashashvatam Nabnuvanti Mahatmana Samsidhim Paramamgata. Krishna says, one who comes to me, they escape this world which is full of dukkha, full of unhappiness and ashashvatam, full of temporary situations. Everything here is temporary, everything is ultimately breaks down. And so through philosophy we realize, I need to stop searching in this world, stop looking for that which isn't here. Once I went past a travel agent, and you know, past the travel agent, there was a big poster of an Arabian desert. And it was ironic. The picture was of the Arabian desert, and you know what the caption was? Keep on exploring. It was so ironic, you know? But what are you going to explore in a desert? There's nothing in a desert. And even if you come in a desert and you think you find something, it's a mirage. So what are you going to do? Is that what you're going to do in your whole life? Keep on exploring in a desert. That's what we're doing in the material world. We're continuing to explore for the right thing in the wrong place. The right thing, anand, sukh, but in the wrong place. Material world. So through philosophy we become desperate, we understand I have to reorientate my energy, my attention in a different place. And you know, sometimes these things don't do it. So then you know what Krishna does? Krishna arranges situations in our life to help us become a little desperate. Krishna may put an alarm clock in your life. Wake up. Just when you thought everything was perfect, and something happens, and we think, why? Krishna's grace, wake up, alarm clock, become a little bit desperate, and then you will really begin that journey, really begin to absorb Krishna consciousness in a deeper way. So Krishna says, Bhogeshvariya Prishaktanam Dalapari Jivisham The determination, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place in the heart of one who is still attached to the things, the aspirations of this world. What does Kunti Maharani say? Janmeshwarya Shruta Shribhir Enama Namadapuman Nirvarhatya Vidatumve Pramakim Chanagocharam. Kunti Devi, she says, most people in this world are looking for, broadly speaking, four types of things. And while they still invest their hopes in these four types of things, they will never be able to approach me with sincere desperation. And what are those four things? Janma. Janma means birth, but in this context, it means one who is looking for very, very happy family life. So what does that mean? Everyone should have miserable family life? Is that what we're saying? No, we should have a nice family life. We should have a nice stable situation. We should serve our husband, wife, children nicely. The one who is pinning all their hopes for happiness on this situation, they're not able to fully invest themselves in Krishna consciousness. That doesn't mean we become inattentive or neglectful in our family life, but it means no, we do it with great duty and great care and attention, but we realize that all of us are together not just to make each other happy, because we'll never be able to make each other happy. Has a husband ever made a wife fully happy? Impossible. Has a wife ever made a husband fully? Have children ever made their parents? So Sometimes children will come, they take everything. It's one type of sun, you know, there's four types of sun. You know this? There's four types of sun, and one type of sun is called the Rini Putra. You know what that means? If in your last life you ripped someone off, if in your last life you did some corruption against someone and you unlawfully took from them, then in the next life they may come back as your son. And then that person, that boy, that girl, smiling with all the charm in the world, daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy. And you think, yes, yes, give, of course, that's right. And they will take everything away from you. How it all works, who knows. So family life, we must be dutiful, but we must realize Krishna brought us together to help each other go to the Garbhagriha. So one who is investing their hopes in this temporary situation, they cannot. Aishwarya, if one is investing so much attention in trying to become wealthy, trying to become the acquirer of so many things, so many achievements, so many accolades, so many status symbols, you cannot approach Krishna with sincere desperation. Shruta, one who is trying to become learned, one who is trying to have some distinction. I want to be known, I want to make my mark, I want to leave a legacy, I want to be known as the best, I want to have my ego inflated. No, then you cannot approach Krishna with sincere desperation. And she, beauty. One wants to become beautiful, one wants to be attractive, one who wants to have many followers, one who wants to be the object of adoration, that will divert your attention. So therefore, Kunti Devi says, I tried these things in so many lives. I put so much energy into all of these things. Now Krishna, in this one life, give me a little bit of detachment from these things, so that in this one life I can try and give my heart to you. Because if I try to do both things, it will not work. It will not work. That doesn't mean, as I said, you can't have a family, you can't have a stable situation, you can't have some money in the bank account, you can't have nice clothes. You can do all of these things. But let us not pin our hopes. Rather, let us pin our hopes on Krishna and become desperate to advance in that way. And that will bear some real fruit. So, this is the beginning of the story of how Krishna appears. That the demigods are praying in desperation. And that is the first lesson that the Bhagavad teaches us. That without that desperation, Krishna will not appear in our life. And therefore, let us learn the art of how to cry for Krishna. Not just the tears of the eyes, but the Atma Krandam, the cry of the soul. That is what Arjuna did. And therefore, when Arjuna heard Krishna's instructions, it went to heart. And what did Arjuna say? Nasva moha smite lakva tvadprasadam mayachuta stito smi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Because Arjuna had that desperation, when he heard Krishna's instructions, he said, Nasta moha, my illusion is gone. Smriti labdhva, I've regained my memory. Stito smi gata sandeha, all my doubts have been annihilated. Karishye vachanam tava, I know exactly what I want to do in this life. I only want to serve you, Krishna. That is the beginning of how Krishna appears in our life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I won't go on and on and on. We could give very long lectures. But once there was one taxi driver and one reverend. So they somehow they both died. So
So they both came to the pearly gates of God. So then, when the taxi driver came, then the gates just opened, and there was a voice from the sky, "Welcome, my son. You have qualified yourself to enter the divine kingdom." Taxi driver. Just a taxi driver. Walked through. Then the reverend came to the gates. The electric gates didn't open. It's like, what's going on here? There's some defect. Open the gate. Someone open the gates. And then the voice came from the sky and said, "Reverend, for you, one more life. You have to try again." So the reverend looked up at God and he said, "All my life I lectured. I gave so many talks about you. I glorified you. I said your knowledge." And then the reverend looked at God and he said, "And this taxi driver before me, he didn't do anything, and you let him through." And you know what God said? He said, when you spoke my glories, you simply put people to sleep. But this taxi driver, when he used to drive, people were forced to pray to God."
He made people God conscious.
But if there are any questions, then you can take some questions. Any thoughts? Doesn't always have to be a question, it can be a thought. Is it practical what I'm saying? Is it practical to become desperate of Krishna? Or am I speaking something impractical? It's practical?
Yeah.
Possible?
Yes. Practical is one thing.
Possible is another thing. Is it predictable? That's another thing. Practical means, yeah, anyone can do it. Possible means, yes, I think I can also do it. Predictable means, yes, I will do it. So which one is it? Practical, possible, or predictable? Practical, please, honest. It's practical, possible, and predictable. Any question anyone has? Yes. Made one who has great intelligence.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Very nice class. I really like the point of how we need to be desperate. I don't think I'm desperate enough, so I'm trying to be more desperate. Maharaj, my question is about detachment. So, because of Krishna consciousness, there's naturally attachment to Krishna and detachment from material world, material activities, and those attachments and those reactions. In the process of Krishna consciousness, I want to check if this is the right way of doing it. So, our process is that by merely detaching and focusing on prioritizing and detaching from material things, will bhakti arise, or by prioritizing attachment to Lord Krishna, will detachment arise from the material world, or are they like two parallel? $1,800.
Sorry, my bad. Let's get rid of that phone. yeah, good point. Which one of those? So, sometimes in Shastra you will hear that first you have to be detached and then you can fully attach yourself to Krishna. Other times in Shastra you will hear that if you get attached to Krishna, automatically you will get detached from material things. So which is true? Both are true. In the beginning we have to have some level of detachment so that we can focus on our focused spiritual practices to Krishna. But when we have focused spiritual practices towards Krishna, then eventually you develop a type of love where a very spontaneous type of detachment from the material world comes. So in the beginning, the detachment is a detachment based on knowledge. But in the mature stage, detachment comes as a consequence of higher taste. So in the beginning, you detach because of knowledge. And in the mature stage, you detach because of higher taste. But in both stages, there is detachment, but the quality of the detachment is different. Does that make sense?
So should we prioritize that, I guess?
Because you are in the stage of a sadhaka, then you prioritize on detachment based on knowledge. If you only detach based on higher taste, well, not to say you don't have higher taste, but you know what I mean? It's you may get yourself also entangled in many other things unnecessarily. But let me say another thing as well when it comes to detachment in Krishna consciousness. So Rupa Goswami, what does he say? Anashaktasya vishayan yatharham upayujyata nirvanda krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchyate. He says for Vaishnavas, for bhakti practitioners, what they should do is when they see the things of this world, they should understand the Hari Sambandha Vastuna. How does this Vastu, how does this thing have a Hari Sambandha? How can I connect this thing to Hari? Then when you take something and you connect it to Krishna, Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate, this is known as devotional renunciation. Yukta Vairagya. Yes. So what does that mean? If you have a family, it's not that tomorrow you have to just take sannyas. But if you're interested, let me know.
Maharaj is here to recruit people. Maharaj, are you here to recruit people?
One time Srila Prabhupada, he wanted someone to become a temple president. So, who wants to be a temple president? One time they asked Prabhupada, what's the job description of a temple president? You know what Prabhupada said? If something goes wrong, it's your fault. What kind of job description is that? So no one wants to be a temple president. No one will say yes, generally, unless they're very, very humble. So Prabhupada wanted this one devotee, he was a householder, to be a temple president. So Prabhupada was thinking, how will I take it to him? So you know what Prabhupada did?
He said yes.
So he said, call this person. So this person came, already he was thinking, oh my God, Prabhupada's going to drop a bombshell, he's going to kill me. Maybe he's going to tell me to become the Sankirtan leader, or maybe the congregational leader. He's going to tell me to take up some responsibility. So then he came into the room and Prabhupada looked at him and he said, I want you to take sannyas.
Oh my God, sannyas.
This is like a different level, you know. I thought maybe Sankirtan leader, maybe this, maybe at worst temple president, but sannyas. So, and then his head was spinning, he was like going around the chandelier, he was beside himself. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, okay. You don't want to take sannyas? He said, no, I don't want to take it. I said, okay, then at least become temple president. Yeah, anything, I'll do anything. I'll do whatever you want, but not sannyas. Last thing. Krishna said, Krishna Bhakta Bodha Chatu, Krishna Devotee Vave Intelligent. Yeah, so I was saying, if you have a family, it's not that you have to take sannyas. All that you have to understand is how now I can make my family life in such a way that it can be Hari Sambandha, Vastuna, it can be connected to Krishna. If I have a career, how I can use this career to connect it to Krishna. If I have position, influence, isn't it? George Harrison, he wanted to join. Did you know that? He wanted to join the temple. He
He went to get initiated by Srila Prabhupada. And you know what Srila Prabhupada said? You don't need to take initiation. You are already Hari's son. He said, no, you just make songs about Krishna. That would be the greatest service. So he remained a musician, remained a pop star, but did amazing things for Krishna. So find out how to detach yourself in a way that is relevant, appropriate, and in a way which makes you more devotionally connected to Krishna. We're not just here to be renounced, dry renunciates away from the world. We want to see Krishna everywhere in everything. But yes, some level of detachment, and then later on, when you have the higher taste, none of this will capture your imagination anymore. Vairagya means detachment, isn't it? But Vairagya has a double meaning. You know that? Vishesha Raga. Vairagya means detachment, but Vairagya also means Vishesha Raga, a very special type of attachment. So a Vairagi is not just one who is detached from everything in the world. A Vairagi is one who has a very special attachment for Krishna. Because of that special attachment for Krishna, they can walk away from everything in the world. Is that okay? Thank you. Anything else anyone would like to ask? Yes. Hare Krishna.
I just want to ask you, are there any methods for detaching ourselves from material things and material world? Are there any methods that are given in Shastra?
Yeah, so basically I was explaining, detachment takes place on different levels. Here I briefly explained it, now I'll explain it in full. The lowest level of detachment which comes is detachment which comes from frustration. Sometimes when Krishna wants to detach you from a situation, he will frustrate you in that situation. You think, my God, I don't have anything to do with it. But that's a very low type of, because it's just based on pain. You realize the pain of that thing. Higher than that is detachment which comes from knowledge. When you realize that, no, there's something more to attain. There's something higher to get. Therefore, let me not have my attention diverted by these things. Let me continue going, isn't it? Like when you go to India and you go into a shop and you start bargaining. Once I went to buy 50 chadars for all the devotees, Dev Bazaar, Vrindavan. So I went into the shop. 50 chadars. It's for brahmacharis. You should give good price. So he gave a price. And immediately what do you do when he gives a price? In your mind you're calculating what is the equivalent in pounds. Do all the maths. And you think, wow, that's so cheap. So you know, then you just think, yeah, just take it. That's a great price. But in India, the first price, never the right price. Then you have to say, no, that's too much. How are you? We are brahmacharis, we are beggars, we don't have anything. Vole kuloka. We don't have anything, we're a beggar. No, then he goes little bit down, then you have to start walking towards the door. No, it's too much, then you have to go out the door. Then he follows you, no, come back, you're not getting good price. Keep back, don't sell out halfway, you have to keep going. Even though all the prices sound good, there's the best prices at the end. You have to keep going. So spiritual life is like that. In this world, even when you come to Krishna consciousness, many benefits are there. But don't think that's the main benefit. Now I am known in the society of devotees. Now everyone appreciates my kirtan. Now I've reached the goal of life. No, keep going. Don't get diverted. There's something more. So don't detach me based on knowledge, knowing there's always something higher. And then eventually, like we said, detachment will come from taste. So these are the way in which Krishna detaches us. Okay, one final question to take us to 7:15 if anyone has. One final take up. Yes. He is my guru. When I came to Krishna consciousness, Rajendranath Guru was a great inspiration to me. So here I am sitting in front of you and it's awkward. And it goes up to him. I'm very fortunate that God has a tiny opportunity. Just going to become Krishna conscious, but he's already said the first time. So my question is more about the original subject, which is about desperation. Now, as we travel through this Krishna conscious movement, we meet so many people. And this word desperation, what is the foundation of this desperation, and how do we motivate that desperation?
Desperation is not anything new to anyone, isn't it? Because there's a desperation in everyone's heart to do something, to achieve something, to have something. Who in this world lives without a desperation? Everyone is longing, striving for something. Who is inactive in this world? Every day, how many emails are sent? 500, millions, billions of emails. It's such a busy world we live in, because everyone's desperate, everyone's looking for something. And what does George Harrison say? Everyone is looking for Krishna. Some know, some don't. When we go out on book distribution and we stop someone, then the trick in book distribution is you just have to show them that everything they're desperate for in their life can actually be found through Krishna. You just have to convince them of that fact. So therefore devotees are desperate, they're not desperate, they're expert in showing people how actually what they're looking for and so many things of this world are to be found in Krishna. Book distributors are expert. Once we were in Liverpool and we were distributing Krishna books, so this one devotee showed a Krishna book to this one person. He said, "This is like Lord of the Rings, it's like, you know, so many stories, like, this is amazing, you're going to be like..." So the person was into it completely. And so the devotee said, "It's yours." And then the person said, No, I don't want this book." He said, "But you're interested, you like it. You are so excited." He said, "Yeah, I am. But this guy's blue. And I'm a Liverpool fan. Blue means Everton. Do you think I can ever have something blue in my house?" And you know what the devotee did? The devotee said, No. You don't know. You don't understand. Krishna is blue, but you don't understand." And then he opened the book and he showed him the Dasa Avatar and the picture of Varahadeva. And he said, "Well, you don't know. Krishna comes back to this world in a reddish form, Varahadeva. And when God comes in the reddish form, he plays football with the universe." Red? Playing football with the universe? This is my kind of God. I'll have it. I'll take it.
It's like, wow, that was impressive. That was very impressive.
So the devotees, they know how to show people that what they're looking for is in Krishna. Everyone is desperate. Look at all of the songs in the charts. They're all about love, isn't it? You can sing a few Bollywood songs. Or a few English songs. "Last Christmas I gave you my heart."
but the very next day he threw it away. Desperation? Everyone is desperate. Everyone is looking for love. But it's all frustrating love. So, desperation is not something new to us. The foundation is the calling of the soul. Either you cry for the things of this world, or you cry for Krishna. The cry of a samsarika, or the cry of a sadhaka. Which one will it be? You know what Madhvacharya says? He says, if you add up all the tears that the soul has shed for the things of this world, if you add up all of the tears of the conditioned souls for the things that they have aspired for in this world that have ultimately let them down, all of those tears would be enough to fill oceans. We cried for people, we cried for situations, we cried because we didn't get the job, we cried because we failed our exams, we cried for so many things. Therefore, Gobinda Maharaj, he said, we are not opening temples. We are opening crying houses where people can come to learn the art of how to cry, the cry of the soul for Krishna. So not that now we have aarti and everyone just begins crying. That would be nice, but it's not just the external cry, it's the real cry of the Atma. That was a very general answer, but maybe it helps something. Yes, you can also comment.
I was just thinking that is it that over many lifetimes you have to face that state of desperation that I want them done?
And many lifetimes, many experiences, many associations with great people, and then maybe it will all accumulate. All of you are here. It's not by chance, because you already were there. You already were there in a previous life. So we're just carrying on. And now, we must also carry on. Prasadam is there. So thank you so much for your time and attention.
Maharaj, would you like to take a few more questions? One or two more questions?
I think there's some signs here that we should time out. I'm fine, but I don't know how all of you are. I mean, it's hot and it's...
You're just one question at the end.
Just one?
Please. Okay. Who would like to
you mentioned about the practicality, possibility and predictability. I think if you give your association regularly, it will become possible and predictable.
Arriba!
Arriba!
Prabhupada said that it's a cushion illusion. Harisari Guru, when he was in India, he couldn't control the crowds. So Prabhupada said, no, you just have to push them. How you can push people like that? It's not nice. Prabhupada, no. India means if you want to control the crowd, you just push them. So he said, the more you smile, the more you can push. So, with a smile, we're pushing each other. We realize there's something amazing to achieve in life by Srila Prabhupada's grace, and it doesn't have to destroy your life or turn your life upside down, should I say. But it's a beautiful way in which we can make our life successful in all ways by becoming desperate for Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.